Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here's our assignment. The world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. I think we can safely question the notion that the world is dangerous. People under the sway of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate can surely be a danger to themselves and others. But does that make the world a dangerous place? Perhaps the danger in such an assumption is that we attempt to make the world less dangerous rather than focusing on ending ego's ability to endanger us and others. The world is too small for anything but love. I bet we can all agree with that. Today, practice bringing all attention to this here now for an experience of the safety and love in presence regardless of circumstance. All right, shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rob. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Rob.
Oh, you can. Okay, good. Hi. So I was listening because, you know, my morning starts earlier than yours. And so I was listening to a previous radio show, and I decided that I should call. So I called in, and here I am.
Good. Very good. That's following the guidance of life, isn't it?
Yeah. Particularly since I download the previous radio shows, and I listen to them, and some of them I listen to over and over again. And the loop that I've been on recently has been, that mantra has been repeated over and over again. Just call in. So,
Just connect. Just participate. Just be here.
Right. And at least for this person, it's really important that I do that. Like, it has a huge impact for me when I participate. So here I am.
And Rob, you're not alone in that. It's true for all of us. When the voices can get us alone and isolated, it's just hell. And that's what they're going for. When we connect, when we participate, we do that in the present. And that makes all the difference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a thought but it's related to an earlier radio show. This is my understanding of the theme of that radio show was basically about staying in the moment, not getting caught in all the what ifs and the planning and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I've been trying to pay a lot of attention to that particular process. And I just noticed that for me, there's this pervasive laundry list of things to do. And it just is always at me. And one of the ways I tried to work with that was that the guidance I heard was that to drop the conditioning and do what life presents to you. But I'm finding something that a little perplexes me. What is natural for me to do is to basically go from one project to the next. And next thing I know, I'm working on five things at once. And that's a perfect setup for me because it's very hard to close five things at once. And then I get overwhelmed and it's becoming clear to me. It's like depression. It seems overwhelming and therefore unworkable. And
yes.
So I guess I'm wondering how I might deal with that. The assignment for today is it seems to me is part of it. I'm guessing that conditioning is whispering in my ear, telling me that I need to do all these things to be okay. And that's not necessary. But I'm not sure how to come up with a balance.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of things that have dropped in while you've been telling us that. One is, I was laughing with my recorder just this morning about one of my favorite things to do is to plan the day and then look at the end of the day at what actually happened.
Yeah.
And how much or how little those two things have to do with one another. So, you know, they're all good things that I think are going to happen today. For instance, I think I get to talk to a group of my favorite people in Saga at 1:30 this afternoon my time. That may happen and that may not happen. It's on my calendar. I'm planning on it. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. So that kind of reality check of just because I think it's going to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. And the second thing that I would just offer you for my own way of doing things. So I get up in the morning and I have a fairly good idea of what needs to happen today. Because on many days, it's the same, right? I'm going to do Project Joy, then I'm going to do another conference call, then I'm going to do this, then that, then I need to check email, then I need to, you know, and then I need to have work projects. So I just write them down. Oh, we have a nasty echo, don't we? So I just write them down, and then interspersed in those, I put meditate. I do other kinds of activities, exercises, and that sort of thing. And so I put those in there. So when I check in with my list, it's not just a running list of all of the, in quotes, work that I'm going to do today. There are all of these other things that I'm going to do that have equal importance. And so when I, with your thing of five things at once, you know, I get to a place with the one that I'm working on, then I may stop and do prostrations, or I may do yoga, or I may meditate, or I may do go for whatever, okay? And then I go back to the next thing that's on the list. And in that way, ego doesn't have a chance to just take me into its world of do, 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 and then throw me out at the end of the day exhausted. And so it's a running list of all of the things that matter to me in my life, rather than ego's pressure to do in order to be the person I should be.
Yes. Okay. Hey, that's really helpful. I'm going to try
it. Excellent. Excellent. And then also, again, just the fun of, at the end of the day, celebrate everything that you accomplished, that, because it is your life, right? You're doing this for your life, not for ego's gratification. You celebrate that and then just check in with, we really don't know, do we? We have no idea in the morning what the day is going to bring.
Yeah, it's emerging in my awareness more how, ego turns it into a contest. And
yeah.
I've been practicing towards the end of the day, like, okay, whatever happened today, it's time to relax. It's okay to relax.
Yes. Relaxing is for me too. The work is for me. The projects are for me. The exercise is for me. The meditation is for me. It's all for me. And relaxation is for me too. Yes, it's all of equal importance.
Okay, great. Thank you
very
much.
Let us know.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Rob.
Take care.
You know, Sherry, as I was listening to that conversation, the thing that arose in that last bit about everything is for me is that if we live the life, if the focus of the attention is on living, not on accomplishment or getting something done, it completely alters our orientation to it.
Yes.
Which means that I could put go ahead.
No, you finish that.
No, just that I could put relaxation in the middle of the day and meditation at the end of the day, right?
Yes.
That, in other words, just as it's just a collection of processes that have my attention throughout the day.
Yes. Yes, and they're all expressions of this unique node of intelligence. And
exactly.
And as we allow the intelligence to inform us at deeper and deeper levels of what that expression, what's possible as that expression, we can relax into it's all the same thing. And we do have an increasing sense that it's the urgency and the yammy-yammy of ego that says this, not that. You have to, you can't, you should, you shouldn't. That's not coming from the intelligence animating us.
Yeah.
If our job is to be here. That's it. Our job is to be here. When we consider for a moment how little benefit driven, stressed accomplishers have benefited the world, I think, it helps me put it into perspective. You know, the level of pollution, the level of destruction, the horrors that have been accomplished in the name of accomplishing. Maybe just being present and choosing compassion is a good direction for us to practice at least until we get clarity.
Yes. And when we get there, we come from compassion, which makes the task so much less stressful.
Yes. Because it's life. It's life expressing life. Nothing stressful in that.
All right. Here's our next caller, Sherry.
Thank you.
Hello. It's Catherine.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi. I woke up this morning and immediately saw some danger signs of getting hooked into some hopelessness and some worry about money. Mm-hmm. And so reading the assignment, recording and listening, what dropped in for me to do or how to proceed was to just stick really close to the mentor all day. And it's really interesting. There's been this kind of, the mentor saying, okay, now let's do the dishes, and, you know, just really kind of guiding me through the day. And I could just get real spoiled with that. That's just been a really good feeling.
I would encourage you to let yourself be utterly spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the worry about money is that's a worry process, and the money content comes up often. And what it dropped in today when I was – once I became – in relationship with the mentor, it dropped in to be generous. And so a friend of mine needs something that I have. And she doesn't need my particular thing, but she needs – am I making any sense? She doesn't need what I particularly have, but she wants the thing.
You don't have to give her your chair, but she does need
right.
a chair.
I'm going to take her this what she needs as a gift, and it just felt like that's what I want to do. I want to be generous, and it's not a costly thing at all. It's more of a gesture than it is anything. She's a good friend, and I just wanted to do this. And it's just interesting that the orientation is just so very different when I'm in relationship with the mentor. So the worry process drops, and what's there is generosity and presence and compassion and self-care.
Yes. So Catherine, when we look at the lives of people We'll just take spiritual people. I mean, there are lots of folks in lots of areas of life, but let's just take spiritual types, okay? They seem to be perfectly happy with nothing or next to nothing.
Yeah.
And people look at them and go, well, I just don't understand how that works, because I could never be happy if I didn't have X, Y, Z. So, then unconsciously the decision is, I'll devote my life to getting X, Y, Z, because the belief, the assumption is, I need that in order to be happy. Now, those same people rarely check in to see if it's working, right? Because the conditioning is always, well, that wasn't quite it. You need more, or you need this, or you need that, or it's always something that you don't have, but you're going to get pretty darn soon, okay?
Yes.
But spiritual types seem completely content and, is it content or contented? Whichever it is, they seem to be that way without all of X, Y, Z. So how is that possible? You just answered that question.
Yes.
They are, however they would frame it, they are spending their lives with the mentor. They are completely satisfied, generous, and kind.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just so much abundance in that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and so where wouldn't you be happy being? You could be anywhere doing anything.
Yeah.
And be completely satisfied and happy in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've noticed is, without it, no.
There's never enough.
There's never enough. There's never enough. So there is a quote coming up in July, the first part of July, that I was working with yesterday. And when it happens, you'll recognize it. It's this fellow talking about very far back in the past about what his life was like as a king and the result of it. And when you hear that quote and we have that conversation, you will go right back to this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he's talking about is the ability to have everything that society offers and not have satisfaction or happiness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
Good.
That's really helpful.
So
and life should feel so full and rich right now.
Yes, and you know how to turn attention, and you know how to choose it every time conditioning comes in and tries to take you somewhere else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, luckiest girl in the world.
Yeah, exactly. I know the feeling. Keep this conversation on speed dial, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Very
good. Thanks, Catherine.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Catherine. That's how you turn a dangerous world into a less dangerous one, right?
You just
not
love,
the world
huh?
that's dangerous. We choose love. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we have a very long list of callers today, Sherry, so I'm going to try to see if I could get another person, as many people on the show as possible. So caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Deanna from Santa Cruz.
Hello, Deanna.
Hi, good morning. I was encouraged to call by the other gentleman who hadn't called, and I thought that it's time to call.
Time to step up and, support the call. All right. Very good. What are you seeing?
I want to look at loving without attachment. My dad, when he got remarried about 15 years ago, and after my mom died, and there's been a big divide. His wife isn't crazy about his kids, and so I've seen him very, very rarely. And now his memory is really going. And so I've really been practicing, and his wife doesn't want his kids in her house anymore. And so it's been I've been really working with this for a long time. And what I got last week around Father's Day was I can express love regardless of if it ever lands, if he ever gets it. And I was remembering some guidance from you many years ago about kind of writing a love letter for Valentine's Day. So I wrote a love letter to my dad for Father's Day, and I mailed it off. And I just was feeling so much love in my heart, and not knowing whether he would get it or not, but just loving the experience of loving.
And did you have a sense in that process of a healing that you've been looking for, or a I don't know what words to put on it, but.
Yeah. Well, it's been moving around. I noticed for a few days after I sent it, a lot of healing in my heart, and a lot of and just this really, you know, getting that once people die that I love, the love is not gone. It's still there because it's still in my heart. So I've just been sitting with this. Notice the last day or so, there's some craving, like, did he get it? He hasn't been in touch. Did it land? And then kind of trying to come back to what's my experience of sending the love, not what's the experience of having the love received.
Yes. Because we really don't know, do we? And if we believe conditioning, then everything that happens has to happen in a conditioned reality. So you write the letter with a heart full of love, and then he receives the letter, he reads it, he feels the love. Then out of that love, he connects with you, and, you know, it's a Hallmark card moment.
But
what we know is there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on, and it has nothing to do with a conditioned reality. And so you are living in that love, and you are offering him that love, directing that love to him. And I don't know that this is true, but I strongly, strongly suspect that on a level that has nothing to do with conditioning, he receives that.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes him.
Yeah. I wonder. But there's that feeling of, well, just more love goes out in the world. So regardless of whether it goes right to his heart, it's coming from me and going into the world.
I bet you have this experience. So I woke up in the middle of the night the other night, and the first thing that came into conscious awareness was this person who I do not hear from a great deal. Okay? 15 minutes later, I got a text from that person. Right?
Yeah,
now, we all have those experiences, and yet conditioned mind wants to write them off as, oh, well, it's just coincidence. But they happen too often for us actually to be able to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't need to make any big belief system out of it, but I do know that there is an intuitive sensing of other people's relationship to me.
Right.
Yeah.
So
why not? Why not go there?
Right.
Why not? If we're going to believe anything, why not believe that loving somebody unconditionally can change their heart in some way that we may never know or hear about?
It just feels so important that I stay with that, because there's so much room here for suffering, and has been a lot of suffering. And And another thing I noticed that expressing love to my dad made me want to express it to other people because there was that enjoyment of that feeling of love. And so I just saw last week where I expressed more love to more people, and like a friend who had never said that she loved me suddenly out of the blue said she loved me. And it's like, oh, okay. I can live in conditioning that says, wow, I lost my dad, you know, 15 years ago. Or I can live in a place where it's like, I get to have as much love as I want and express it and maybe or maybe not have it come back.
Yes, yes. Well, it come back from that person in that way.
Right.
But what
right.
you just yeah, but what you just proved to yourself is when you're living in love and love is going out there in every direction from you, it seems to be bouncing back, right? Because So again, we don't want to make a belief system out of it, because if we do, then every time I feel myself choosing unconditional love, I expect people to be sending me cards and calling me up and texting me and saying I love you, and that just might not happen. if we realize that we are the first recipients, the beneficiaries of that choice, then really what difference does it make? Because what we're doing is loving. Other people won't love us back, or maybe they do and they just don't say so.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter to us because we're lovers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. It feels nice to put the attention there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yes, yes. And I bet you everybody on this call went right there with you. So here, we've just raised our love levels.
Love quotient.
Yes, exactly so. All right. Thank you
so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Sure, I'm going to try to squeeze in one last caller.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh. Hello, Sherry?
Hello. Yeah.
Hello, this is Claire. This is Claire.
Hello, Claire.
I'm just calling because I've been thinking about that, you know, we're coming to about halfway through this program, and I've been wanting to up my game and put myself into the queue more. And so I decided that today was the day to do that.
Good for you. Good for you. You received the guidance. It dropped in, and you're following it. You're doing it.
Exactly. And it's also been interesting to notice the workshop around, you know, all the reasons why not to. And that, you know, if I am driving and I can't pull over safely and I'm unmuted, I'll just say, hello, I'm driving and I can't cheer today, and that would be fine. It's just that I just don't want little excuses to stop me from participating.
That's right. Because, again, as we were just talking about with Deanna, there's Claire.
Yes.
She's with us.
Yes. And there's also the place of, like, you know, as life unfolds perfectly and beautifully, there's a trust that on those times when I'm unmuted, it will align with the times when, you know, life is going to support me to share. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, if it happens when you're driving and you can't pull over safely, you will still know that it was perfect because you're participating.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we can't lose.
Yes. So a lot of sensations in the body around this, and I'm labeling as excitement.
Yes. You're upping your game. That's exciting.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Sherry. Have a good day. Bye.
Talk to you soon. Probably see you soon now that we're in your neighborhood.
Oh, yes. Yes, quite wonderful. I'm very excited. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Claire. Okay. Another wonderful example of our assignment. right, Charity? That when we turn it over to life, it's just a whole lot safer.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and more loving.
And more loving.
And the love doesn't need content, right? Yeah. Love is just love. It doesn't, you know, if you do it this way or if you have that experience or you offer that or your participation is this or people get that. No, no. It's just the love.
Yeah. All right. I believe that brings us to the end of another wonderful show and an assignment for today, Friday, and we'll see everyone on Monday after two more assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And the assignment for today, I'm always doing that which I cannot do in order that I may learn how to do it. After we've been practicing for a while, we begin to realize that I can't do anything unless you count as something, unless you count as something making a human being miserable. The fact that I can't do something certainly does not mean life can't. When we realize that letting I go so that life can guide us, places us with life, we begin to be eager for any circumstances that open us to receiving life's wisdom. This is how we learn to love learning. Today, choose something, preferably small, that the voices say you can't do, and practice letting life guide you in learning how to do that thing. Record and listen.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Well, thanks again, Charity.
Thank you. Another great week.
Another great week.
And let's meet back here on Monday.
Monday it is. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Go happy. Treasure yourself.
Take care.